just on the side, let me just mention this. There's twice, this is one of them, Genesis 33:20. There's twice, the other one is in, I think, chapter 49. But there's twice where Jacob says, the God of Jacob. Or the God, excuse me, the God of Israel. He says here, the God of Israel. And what's striking about it, we read that and we go, oh yeah, the God of Israel, right. But that would be the equivalent of Eric saying, God, the God of Eric. Or that would be the equivalent of me saying, God, the God of Bob. Or of you putting your name into it, God, the God of Scott. I mean, insert your name in it. Jacob came into this profound intimacy with God and ownership of his intimacy with God that he says to his children, and I think it's chapter 49, I don't have the verse in front of me, but he says to his kids, God, the God of Jacob, God of Israel. Very personal. I love that. Okay, let's get back to our story. Now, Genesis 37. The next item in Jacob's story that we're going to look at is when the beloved of his heart, his son Joseph, is taken from him. The brothers come in and they bring the tunic to their dad and they said, and it's all bloodied and torn, and they say, Dad, do you recognize this garment? Genesis 37, verse 33. And Jacob recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So when Joseph is taken from him, and in Jacob's eyes, he's been killed by a wild beast, Jacob goes into this profound depth of mourning. It's you almost wonder, like, why such a deep mourning? I mean, he says, I will never let this go. I'm going to take this one to my grave. Why is the grief so intense? I think it's two reasons. Number one, Joseph was his favorite, his beloved. But I think even more significant was the fact that Joseph was a prophet. You look at chapters 48 and 49, it's very clear Joseph is a prophet. Excuse me, Jacob was a prophet. And so Jacob, now we don't have a verse that says it, but I'm just telling you, Jacob knew there was something special about Joseph. Do you think I'm right on that, sweetheart? There's not a verse for it, but my wife has kind of that prophetic thing in her life too. And I'm just telling you how it works, okay? When you have a prophetic thing on your life and you got 12 boys, there's something in the heart of Jacob that looks at Joseph and says, this one. And something in his spirit, this one is intended for greatness. God has a special portion. There is something on you. God has a destiny on this one. And Jacob knew in his spirit something from heaven for this boy. Maybe he didn't have it verbalized, but he knew there was something. And when Joseph is taken from him, there is this mixture of both profound loss and untold perplexity. He could not put it together. I thought for sure sure that I was seeing something. I thought God came. He's gone. And he says in his spirit, I will never let this one go. Don't even try to comfort me. I'm going to take this grief to my grave. Reminds me a little bit of Psalm 77, where the psalmist says, my soul refused to be comforted. It's one of my verses, because when you have a promise from God, there are so many forces that want to talk you into a plan B. So, I mean, maybe it's just in your own head, but there's so many thoughts and so many reasonings that want to talk you into something less than the promise that God has given you. And there's something in my soul that says my soul refuses to be comforted with anything less than the fullness of the salvation of God. I've had people say things like this to me. Actually, I get this one quite a lot. They say, Bob, your voice, the way it is right now, actually works for you. Because people listen a lot more attentively. They listen more closely to you than the guys that yell. Well, I appreciate that God can somehow use the brokenness in some form. I don't despise that. I appreciate that. But I will never be comforted with anything less than the fullness of his promise to my life. I've had other people say things like this to me. Well, Bob, if this hadn't happened to you, would you have ever written those books? I'll tell you the truth, Joe, not a chance. Number one, I didn't have time. See, I'm talking to Joe and Debbie because they knew me back then, all right? I didn't have time, and I didn't have anything to say. Not a chance. I had written Exploring Worship, and I remember a very distinct feeling. I have written my book. I'm done. And so people are like, well, Bob, if this hadn't happened to you, the books would have never happened. And it's like, well, I appreciate that. I'm grateful that God can use something to produce something that is a blessing to the body of Christ. I don't despise it at all. I'm grateful for it. It's certainly an important part of the story. But my soul refuses to be comforted with anything less than the fullness of the promise that he has given me, and that will not placate or satisfy me. And Jacob's got that same kind of thing going on here. Don't even try to comfort me. I'm taking this one to the grave. And this profound grief that he's determined, I'm going to grieve this one till the day I die. Now we're going to come to the next moment in Jacob's story. When he loses Joseph, he's 108 years old. And that number, we can verify, that's an accurate number. So he loses Joseph at 108. And we're going to pick up his story now 22 years later. There's a 22-year period during which we hear nothing about Jacob. Why? Because Moses, who wrote the book, is totally distracted with Joseph. He's got Joseph in Egypt, he's got him in Potiphar's house, and then he's got him in the prison, and then he's got him in the palace. And we have this 22-year story of Joseph in Egypt, and then there's 7 years of plenty, and then there's 2 years of famine. The whole thing is just so dramatic, and we hear nothing about Jacob for 22 years. And when we pick up with Jacob's life next, he is now 130 years old. Go ahead and just let that number roll off your tongue for a moment. Turn to your neighbor and just say, 130. Would you be willing to grant me that he is now a mature elder? 130 years old. And we're going to pick up Jacob as a mature elder in the faith at 130 years old. What are we going to find? A man that is blessed and serene and fulfilled. Quite the opposite. We pick up Jacob, he's 130, he's a mature elder in the Lord, and he is miserable. He's lost his Joseph. Now he has lost his Simeon to the man in Egypt. What's with the man in Egypt? He just put my Simeon in prison, and the man in Egypt says, you're not coming back for more food unless you bring the other son with you, Benjamin. And so here's Jacob going, I've lost Joseph. Now I've lost Simeon. Now the man wants Benjamin. And on top of all that, I've got this confounded famine, this drought that is squeezing my entire household. We're starving to death. And I mean, who knows where famine comes from? I mean, the weather, that's God. Okay, so I've got God against me. I've got the most powerful man on the planet against me. What did I do to the man in Egypt? Not enough to have God against me. I've got the man in Egypt against me. And so let's just read it in the language of Jacob himself. Genesis 42, verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. I like the way the NIV renders that last phrase. The NIV says it this way. Everything is against me. He's 130 years old. Now he's been in this covenant with God for 35 years. Shechem was 35 years earlier where he said, you are my God. And for 35 years, he has held to that vow. And now we find Jacob at 130 years of age. He's lost Joseph. He's lost Simeon. He's about to lose Benjamin. This confounded famine that's squeezing the family out. And this primal cry that comes from the depths of his gut. Everything is against me. But you are my God. And if you take everything away from me, I will serve you. I am yours. And even in the midst of his greatest pain, here's my point, Jacob never let go his covenant. You are my God. It seemed to him that God himself had violated the covenant. Maybe violated is too strong a word, but sure didn't seem like God was keeping his side of it. I mean, heaven's against him, Egypt's against him. He's 130 years old, and he can't see past his nose. Blackness. If you can't see what God is doing in your life right now, it is not necessarily a symptom of spiritual immaturity. Sometimes God will strategically withhold our ability to see. And what Jacob doesn't see has no idea it's coming. In about 3 weeks' time, maybe four, 3 to 4 weeks' time, everything is going to turn on a dime. Everything is going to change, and fast. Light is sown for the righteous. And Jacob, in a darkness so profound, there is going to come a harvest of light that's going to come on his life, and the light switch is going to come on so fast, it's going to be blinding to him. 3-4 weeks later, and here comes an Egyptian caravan. Jacob's like, what are the Egyptians doing? Coming this direction. This isn't exactly the most direct path to anywhere from they're coming right past my house. Egyptian camels, Egyptian carts, a whole Egyptian what's the deal with the Egyptians? And as they start coming closer, there's this guy going like this, and Jacob's like, that looks like Simeon. And Simeon's going, Papa, it's me, Simeon, I'm back. And Jacob's like, what? And he's looking, that looks like Benjamin. And Benjamin's going, Papa, it's me, Benjamin, I'm back. And Judah comes and he says, Papa, sit down. We've got to talk. Papa, well, let's go ahead and read the Bible version of it, okay? Genesis 45, verse 26. Genesis 45, 26. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. When you have been in that kind of grief for 22 years, I mean for 22 years, Jacob has been in a constant state of mourning and sorrow. He said, I will never let this one go. Don't even try to comfort me out of this one. I'm going to take it to my grave. And for 22 years, he has mourned over his son. And they come to him after 22 years of that kind of grief, and they say, Joseph is still alive. It hits him so hard, it stops his heart, it stuns him, and he's like, I can't believe this. It was too much all at once. It was too good to be true. Heart-stopping goodness. Anybody in the house interested in something like that? Would you be interested in some heart-stopping salvation? And it's like the Lord, the Lord could have, a little bit tenderly, a little bit of a warm-up, or let's, but no, it's like the Lord's, I can just imagine God planning this thing. Okay, Jacob, hang on, bro. I'm going to hit you with this thing. I am saving it up. and it's going to come crashing down on your head all at once. When that light comes, that harvest of light comes, it's going to hit you with such a blazing flash, it's going to blind you. When that gladness of heart that's been sown for you all these years comes out of that soil, that gladness is going to hit you so hard, it'll stop your heart. And I can imagine God getting his gun out. Okay, let's not kill him. Let's just put it on stun. And God hits Jacob with a bullet that stuns him. And he's like, his heart stopped. It was too much. Are you okay with this kind of drama? I mean, God's such a dramatic God. And he's like storing the thing up so that he can, you know, just kind of let it crash all at once. If you're the kind of person that likes to see how things are going to shake down, it might not go so good for you. If you're not into surprises, it might not go so good for you. I'm over here going, surprise me, Lord. And so I wondered, Eric, what kind of intimacy did Jacob feel as he was riding in the limo to Egypt? I call it a limo because the cart that they brought, that was the limo of the day. It was as good as it got, you know, a cart on a camel. That was the limo. But here's Jacob riding in a limo on his way to Egypt. And I wonder if it just kind of, you know, kind of like, God, I thought you were against me. It felt like heaven was against me with the drought and the famine. You took Joseph from me. You took Simeon from me. I lost my Benjamin. But I resolved in my heart, you are my God. And if I go to my grave in sorrow, so be it. But I will never back off from the covenant I made with you. You are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he's riding in the cart on the way to Egypt, and it hits him. When you took Joseph from me, you were for me. When you took Simeon from me, you were for me. When you took Benjamin away from me, you were for me. When you sent the drought, you were for me. You have been for me all along. And I couldn't see it. I thought I was the one keeping up my end of the vow. And I realize you have kept your end of the vow. You have vowed your heart to me. You have been good to me. You were good to me in the taking of Joseph, the taking of sin. And now he comes to Egypt. He's riding to Egypt. You have provided for me. My family is going to be fed everything that we want. We're going to be given everything we need. He goes to Egypt. He blesses Pharaoh. And without a doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Jacob dies the greatest man on the planet. He gets the funeral of the millennium. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness of heart for the upright. Well, I've enjoyed telling that story because I just love the story of Jacob. It's so dramatic, And I've kind of filled my name in on a few of those blanks. How about you? Lord, surprise me like that. Get out your stun gun if you want to. But I have resolved in my heart, you are my God. I'm going to love you all my days. I've come into covenant with you, and I don't understand the heartache. I don't understand the sorrow. I don't understand everything about this journey. And there's times when it feels like I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Why aren't you? But I will serve you till the day I die. And may the Lord show himself. He actually is more true to the vow than you are. And when it feels like he's against you, one of these days, he's going to show you his salvation, and you will realize he has been for you all along, and you will see the goodness of God. Let me end with one final scripture, Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he who has the God who will come to you and take your hip out in order to put a meekness into your spirit and bring you into a dimension of spiritual fatherhood. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob, who will even take away the beloved things of your life, that will bring you into a season of profound grief and sorrow. Happy is he that even at age 139 could not see past his nose. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Abba, you are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob, and I declare tonight, you are my God. And I'm putting another flag in the sand tonight. Whatever comes down my way, whatever the journey, however you write the story, you are my God till the day I die. And if I take this sorrow to the grave, do not try to talk me out of it. I will not be comforted with anything less than the fullness of the salvation of God. Lord Jesus, truly, you are the Prince with God, Israel. Jesus, thank you for giving us the example, the life, the inspiration of Jacob that every generation now can hold to and see the good ways of God in our lives. Now tonight, if it's in your heart and you would want to just stand and lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm just saying it again tonight, you are my God. You're welcome to do that if you want. It may be that someone here tonight would make that, you're in a place where you would want to make a covenant even for the first time tonight with him. Others, you've already sealed that, and you just want to again say, you are my God. You've come collecting, Lord, and I'm here to say, yes, I am in covenant with you. All my days, my heart is yours. And Lord, because of how we have seen your faithfulness over centuries now, we entrust our hearts to you because you are more true to this covenant than we are ourselves. And we bless you and we worship you as a covenant-keeping God. Amen.